Let's take our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 and stand together since you've been sitting a while, and we'll read the first five verses there. Thank you, Sweet Springs Baptist Church. What a joy to be back here, and you've been great hosts, and thank you already. And the Sunday school class is big basket and the kindness. We thank you. It's a joy to be here with you. Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always." I guess if you know your name's in the book of life, that ought to come next, right? "And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Father, we pray you'd speak to our hearts through the Bible, that you would incline our hearts unto thy testimonies, that you would help us to receive with meekness this engrafted word. May it thrill our hearts. May it be the joy and rejoicing of our soul. May it make a difference in our thinking and our living. And Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We pray you get all that you deserve out of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. My verse tonight is verse 5 that I've been assigned. And my dear preacher friend this morning, I inferred that my brother was the happy one and I was the lump of coal, preacher. So I'm going to give you that lump of coal tonight because that's the verse, really. I don't know why I didn't get verse 4. But anyway, verse 5 is our text, is my text. You know, a lot of things, if we would just let happen in our lives, it's not a difficulty. It's just our continual bucking up against what God's trying to do in us. We just let God have his way. As the text said in chapter 2, if we would let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our text tonight, if we would just let, he says, "Your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." So there are not a lot of words in there, so we'll pick out moderation. Moderation. You know, that's the only time that word is found in the Bible, moderation. The word moderately is found in the Bible back in the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 23, where God is sending rain. And he sent the rain moderately. In other words, he did not send an excessive rain. He sent just a mild rain to the people there. It rained moderately. This is the only other time it's found in the Bible. But so, of course, we need to understand what the word is, or we won't have a message tonight. And the admonition is that my moderation is to be known unto all men. So I've got to understand what that means. What is moderation? Well, it's something that this generation doesn't know anything about. You look up the word moderation in the 1828 dictionary. Here is the definition: restraint of violent passions or indulgence of appetite. Moderation is calmness of mind. Moderation is frugality in expenses. Just reading the dictionary. The dictionary says, "Eat and drink with moderation. Indulge with moderation in pleasures and exercise." I'm glad he said, "and exercise." In other words, you can be excessive in so many different things. We live in an excessive generation. And probably if we would humble our hearts, there would be something tonight that the Spirit of God would speak to all of our hearts and say, you know, that's a little excessive. Why did it get quiet right there? I didn't even mention anything. Exercising excessively. That's what the dictionary said. You know, some people are very excessive about their bodies. They will exercise faithfully every day. They will take every pill, every supplement. They will do everything to their body and go overboard and excessive with the body and to the detriment of their own soul without spending any time on the inner man. We live in an excessive generation. Bodily exercise does profit little. Now, for all the fat people. So you got to change it because, you know, somebody wants to get on somebody else's. Hey, look at me, man. I mean, come on now. I'm not the skinny. By the way, Euodius had to be. No, I won't go there. But excessive. I really think now that moderation probably had something to do with the problem with these two women, because if they had not been excessive, they probably would have gotten along a little better. If they had had some moderation in their lives, they probably wouldn't have been so at odds. Same way with probably if we were not so excessive, we probably would have more to rejoice about. Our excesses, our lack of moderation steals our joy. Probably, since it's in the definition of the word, in calmness of mind, the next verse that Brother Kemmler, probably we would not be so overburdened with cares in our hearts if we were not so excessive in our lives. Amen. Probably the peace of God would find us a more stable place in a heart that was not so excessive. You see the context? If my mind was not so excessive in the wrong way, maybe thinking on the right things, you see, would moderate my life. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation. Now, the reason I said with the eating, really, as Americans, we have appetites. I mean, we know how to eat, right? And by the way, it's not just fat people that are gluttonous. I mean, the people that had the biggest appetite I ever met in my life were skinny. I mean, they just put it away, right? Have I already gone overboard already? I can't preach on moderation without mentioning that. I got a problem with it just like you. And it doesn't matter if you're skinny or fat. We got a problem telling ourselves no and say, you know, a bag of chips, you know, that's probably. Like the guy, you know, the young man in camp, he heard the message. I just talked to the guy today, and he heard a message at camp, and, you know, he was severely overweight, and he got in a conviction. The preacher was preaching about you know, gluttony, and he went up to the preacher and said, I wanted to get right with God, and I went for a walk today. He said, I'm trying. But you know, really, we are just out of control. And maybe what you're out of control with is something somebody else is not out of control with. But we have an out of control world. And if there's not some moderation, then we're not going to have any joy in Philippians. We have miserable lives because we have excessive lives. And that's just the truth. Moderation. Well, there were two other words I found in the dictionary that when you look up that word, it said the definition of that word equaled moderation. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in what? Modest. It's almost close. The definition of modest in the dictionary is moderation, restraint, not excessive or extreme. Women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Why you read that? Well, I just felt like I just... That probably would have helped those women. Why are you picking on the women? Here comes the typical independent Baptist preaching message. That's the verse. Amen. I can't help it that modesty defines itself as moderation. I'll get the women and the men and the children in a minute. But the excessiveness of calling attention to oneself is destroying your joy, and it's destroying someone else's joy. And it's hurting your mind, and it's hurting your relationships. Modest apparel. That means this, ladies. You should not dress to call attention to yourself. It should not be excessive. There goes the independent Baptist again. Well, you know, if you had an NIV, you wouldn't have this message tonight. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because in an NIV and a New American Standard Bible and a Good News Bible and a New King James Bible, it does not say, let your moderation be known unto all men. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Isn't that nice? Your gentleness be known to all men. The Living Bibles even. It says, let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. No moderation there. Here's the real good one. The Message. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side. Working with them and not against them. There. You say, why is that in the new Bibles? Because the new Bibles are like the new generation and like the new churches and like the new morality and like the new Christians and like this generation that says, nobody's going to tell me that I need to live in moderation. As long as I'm on everybody else's side, as long as I have a good disposition, all that. But the truth is, if you don't live in moderation, then all of that's going to fall apart anyway. We don't need to look at the excessiveness of anybody. We don't need to. How much more of your body do we need to see for it to be excessive? Moderation, not excessive. How many more curse words do you need to hear in a movie before it's too excessive? How many more hours of spending your life for yourself instead of spending your life for God, how many more hours in a day are too excessive? How many pictures on Facebook do we need to see of you until it's too excessive? Moderation. Don't indulge your passion, whether it's a pleasure, whether it's your mind, whether it's your expenses. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. I mean, how many hours the excessiveness on the phone, on the computer, whatever. There are so, spent with sports, spent with electronics. The men have just as much. I don't know how many men are so excessive and they have no moderation when it comes to their work or their attitude. Moderation of our attitude, of our words, of the choices that we make. How many more arguments do there need to be at home before it is too excessive? Let your moderation be known to all men. Everybody needs to know that you are not excessive. Ephesians 5. And today, nothing is excessive. And if I wasn't in a good church, I couldn't even say what I've said already. And I want to say a lot more, but I don't want to be excessive. I'm serious. We're overboard. We're over the top. Over the top with everything but God. Excessive, extreme, way out on the limb, pushing the button as far as we can push it, going as long as we can go with everything except God. That's a little extreme. No. Everything else in your life is extreme. I'll show you Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, or I meant 5, Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is what?
Excess.
No, wait. God is not trying to teach us that we can be moderate in our sinning. Because in all sin is excess. It's not I get to do this much until I have excessively gone too far. No, look at the verse. And be not drunk with wine, comma, wherein is excess. Not in the drunkenness, because he didn't use the word drunkenness. That's the verb. Be not drunk with wine. Wine, that's the noun. Wherein, in that wine, is excess. If you grab a hold of that wine, you're going to grab a hold of excesses in your life. You are going to go overboard. So the guy said, well, I just drink moderately. How? You don't drink moderately?
Amen.
No one's drinking you. In that is excess. Well, if I'm supposed to live a moderate Christian life, if I'm supposed to have moderation, if there's anything that has excess to it, I'm staying away from it, right? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Look at the rest of the verse, though. But be filled with the Spirit. There is no excess in being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't take you out of control. Being filled with the Spirit puts you under control. Being filled with the Spirit does not cause you to indulge. Being filled with the Spirit causes you to be under His leadership and His authority. There is no excess in the things of God. You can fill all the way to the top and you'll never go too far with it.
All these people say, well, I don't want to be so heavenly minded. I'm no earthly good. I don't know what book that came out of, but that guy needs to get saved. I have never met anybody too heavenly minded. I've met a lot of earthly minded people. Heaven, you can't get enough heaven in your mind. You can't get enough. You can't get too fanatical with living for Jesus Christ. He said, love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. I mean, you go as far as you want to go with me and it won't be too much. It'll be all right. But our problem is not going too far with God or too far in the church or too far in service to God. Our problem is we go excessive in every other area and then we got this little bit with God and we think that's a lot.
man, all this stuff I'm doing for God and at the church. And we all sleep more than we serve God anyway. Be filled with the Spirit. You know, if we're filled with the Spirit, that the second word that I looked up in the dictionary that equaled moderation was not just modesty, but was also the word temperance. You don't hear that preached much. Temperance. Temperance means moderation. No, listen. Temperance means, this is out of the 1828 dictionary, habitual moderation. That's what temperance is. Habitual moderation in relation, in regard to the indulgence of the natural appetites to passions. Patience, here it is again, calmness. This is temperance. Sedatedness. That's in the dictionary. Well, I've met a lot of sedated people. But it's not because of temperance. It's because of indulgence in other areas. You know what that Bible says? That Bible says, we quote the first one's really easy. The fruit of the Spirit, remember our excess verse over there. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. When you're out of control, you're not full of God. You're not filled with the Spirit. When you're excessive in any area, the Spirit of God is not controlling your life. And when the Spirit of God is not controlling your life, there's no joy. Maybe there's no joy because there's no temperance. Because if the Spirit of God is in control of your life, there will be temperance there. You know what the Bible says about Paul when he stood before the ruler there in Acts 24, I think it was Felix, yeah, 24, 25. The Bible says that Paul reasoned with him of righteousness, judgment, and temperance. You know what he said, Felix? You're out of control. You live your life out of control. He reasoned with him about temperance. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look, just in a minute, you're going to hear, be careful for nothing, but in every... Don't let this message worry you. Brother Camilleri is coming. But I'm telling you, you are not going to have a Philippians church or a Philippians life or a Philippians family unless you get some moderation in your life. It is not going to happen. It is not going to happen because you came and sat in a Bible conference. It's not going to happen because you go to church. You're going to have the Spirit of God to control your life, to bring all of our excesses into control. And you know the sad thing about people that are not living in moderation? They never think what they're doing is overboard. They never think their lifestyle is overboard. They never think that they're in excess. They never think they're out of bounds. They always think it's acceptable, it's okay. But we're not trying to be conformed to one another's image. We're trying to be conformed to the image of Christ. Amen. And by the way, with the other group of people that sometimes come to church and say, see, all these people, all their excesses, you know, and they don't do anything. Well, look at Matthew. I know we're going to 1 Corinthians. Get Matthew. I got to get this one right quick. Because excess is not just on the outside of you. Excess is in another place. Matthew 23. There's a lot of people that don't dress excessively and don't drink excessively and don't talk excessively. Well, but most everybody has excesses on the inside. Maybe, just maybe,
Euodias had excesses on the outside, and Syntyche had excesses on the inside, and never the twain could meet.
Look at this, Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and what? How much pride on the inside of you is excessive? How much arrogance and bad spirit in us is too much? How much unkindness and lack of a servant's heart on the inside is just out of bounds? Too many times we look at the excesses of others, and inside we are eat up with so many excesses of bitterness and anger and wrath and malice. And we are so out of bounds, but we dress right, you know, and we do this. Both excesses are wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not even raising my voice, am I? I'm just even kilter. Just even kilter. Why don't you ask God, Lord, what in my life do I need to bring into moderation? I think it's a fair question. And only the soul that has need of nothing would say, I'm not out of bounds anywhere. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is what? Temperate in what?
All things.
Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my what?
Body
and bring it into what?
Subjection.
Why? Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul himself is worried about being too excessive. He's worried about himself being out of control. The guy that says, the things I would, that do I not. And the things I don't want to do, that I do. At least he's honest about it, you see. And that's where he can find help. I'm excessive. I want to keep under my body. I don't want it to control me. I want to be temperate in all things. Not a few things, but all things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Got any excesses? Anything out of bounds? Let your moderation be known unto all men. You know, that's what we get contempt for Bible believing, as Bible believing independent Baptists. Oh, you're just worried about people on the outside. No, we're worried about them on the outside, on the inside, and if they get excessive, they're going to ruin their life. Just like the rest of the world's ruining their life. And there'll be no rejoicing. There'll just be cares, problems, fighting, fussing. Because you're just out of bounds. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 3, for the time past of our life, boy, I like this phrase, may suffice us. Wasn't the time past of your life before you got saved, wasn't that enough excess? Should not that suffice you? That time you were without God, wasn't that enough? For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same. There it is again. Excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And it's interesting, verse 7 says, but the end of all things is what? At hand. That's exactly what Philippians said. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is what? He's at hand. The hour's late. Get your excesses under control. Let God control them, because your past life should have been enough for you. My verse says, let your moderation be known. I am never surprised of how many Bible-believing Christians are willing to be Bible-believing Christians as long as it's not known to everybody they know. Can I say that? No, he didn't just say, live in moderation. He said, no, let your moderation be known. Everybody ought to know that you live in moderation. Let your moderation be known unto who? In other words, the way I live my life and the standards that I have in my life aren't the standards of my life and the moderation of my life when I'm around church people. But everywhere I go, they know that I live in moderation, that I am not an excessive individual. Isn't it strange how some people, I know nobody here in this church, but isn't it strange how some people, that they have a certain set of clothes for church and a certain set of words for church and a certain set of music for church around the good people. And then around the bad people, they have a second set of clothes and a second set of words and a second set of music.
Come on, preacher.
And Paul said, no, I'm not interested in you just living in moderation among each other. I'm interested in you living in moderation and it be known before all men. So there's no doubt about you. And some people are ashamed of who they are. Because around these men, around this group, it's great. But around another crowd, you're nutso. You are a freak. And that bothers some Christians to the nth degree. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? He says the last phrase, and I know I only have a few minutes. He says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Get Romans 13, would you? Maybe we won't get that verse off our mind. Romans chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Praise God, there's coming a redemption of the body. There's coming a salvation of the body. There's coming a day where Jesus Christ, I'm not just going to be saved on the inside, I'm going to be saved on the outside. Amen. And that time, he says, that time it's coming, it's nearer. But keep reading, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is what? There's that phrase again. Keep reading. The day is at hand, there's that word again, us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
What a passage that fits like a puzzle. Your salvation is nearer than you believe. The time is at hand. So quit living in the excess of dishonesty, in the excess of rioting, in the excess of drunkenness, in the excess of chambering. I don't even want to talk about that tonight. But that is 2015. Chambering and wantonness. Total excess, immorality, out of control in every way possible, living in it. And he says, put you on the... And strife and envying. That's verse 2 and 3 in our text. Why? Strife and envy. Out of control. No moderation. And somebody is not considering that the Lord is at hand. Now, I got a whole bunch of points. I'm not going to preach about how the coming and the nearness of the coming of the Lord should moderate our lives. It should bring moderation to our fears. Don't be soon shaken, troubled. I beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. By our gathering together. Don't be, hey, the Lord sending from heaven with a shout. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Whatever your excessive fears are, let them be lost in the knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming again, and it won't matter 5 minutes after he gets here. Amen. Whatever you're afraid about, let it moderate. Take those excessive fears. It should moderate our lifestyles. We've been preaching. What's 1 John says in 2? It says, you know, that when we see him, we'll not be ashamed before him at his appearing. And it goes on to talk about in the next chapter about what sin does to our life. And don't be like Cain. And don't let that sin, don't commit that sin. Don't let that get out of bounds in your life. Because the Lord's coming. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. There's no doubt in my mind. People really don't believe Jesus is coming because there's too much wantonness. Well, I tell you what, when mom told me dad was coming home, the excessiveness stopped. It just. And I was just the best little boy. Should moderate our lives. It should. But I really don't even think that Philippians 4, this is me, when he says the Lord is at hand, I really don't even think he's talking about the coming of Jesus. Would you get Jeremiah? I'm finished. Jeremiah 23. You know that little phrase in the Bible occurs in many, many places. We know the day of the Lord is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of God's at hand. But when you, the first reference to that, way back in Genesis, there's another reference over there in 1 Samuel about somebody at hand. He had some money. He could get some money at hand quickly. But this is a verse I want to read before I quit. Jeremiah chapter 23. And look at verse 23. God says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? So just by reading that verse, what does it mean? What does at hand mean? He's as close as your hand. He's at your hand. And God says this, hey, I'm God if I'm way away from you, and I'm God if I'm right next to you. I'm God. But our text says, let your moderation be known to all men. For the Lord, he's at hand. He is as close as your hand. So that ought to bring in your excesses. That ought to lasso in those things that are out of bounds. Because so many times we live our lives without the sure knowledge that Christ is in me and Christ is with me. and he is right there at my hand. My mom and dad aren't there, but he's there. Nobody, my church members aren't there, but he's there. My friends aren't there, but he's there. I'm alone, but I'm not alone. He's at my hand. He's right there. Paul says, guys, listen. Your God is right beside you. Don't you think you should live in moderation? Because he beholds it, and he grieves over it, and he watches it. And you don't have to impress me, and you don't have to impress anybody else, but that Lord God that's right by your hand, you ought to want to love him and please him and honor him and take all those things that are out of bounds and cast it at his feet. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at